Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast. And today, our topic will be Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, and we will be talking with Mary Ann Riley, who attended the church there in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and also we will have another guest, Karen Panzler Lamb, who is the author of the Liberty Advocate website. So we will be bringing both of our guests on in a few minutes, and we want to let you know that our chat room is open, and we appreciate your comments. Also, this is a live call-in program, and if you'd like to call in at any time and ask a question of any of our guests, please feel free to do that. And the call-in number is 914-338-1638. So all those resources are available for you. I'd also like to let you know about our website, propheticnews.com. And we also have a YouTube channel, which is Jonah T for Tom 48. We have about 17 videos there. And a few weeks ago, Mike Murdoch had one of my videos removed. So we're doing something right that it got his attention. Hopefully he listened to what I have to say, and we welcome him to come on our program at any time, and we will have an open debate about seed faith and whether or not any of that is in the Bible. So I say no, because we can pray and ask God to bless us. We don't have to bribe God or pay him off to get our blessings. So I wanted to go over a few scriptures with you today, because we're living in a very difficult time, I think, in world history, and especially in the history of the church, where we see so many false prophets going out and bringing in damnable heresies. And we want to be a beacon of light here at Prophetic News and preach the gospel out of a pure heart. No matter what may come our way, we want to please the Lord Jesus Christ more than we want to please man. But I want to let our listeners know today that the Word of God never returns void. So when we quote the Word of God, it is alive, and it goes into people's hearts. Don't ever underestimate the power of quoting Scripture. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word of God is powerful. And Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereinto I sent it." So we are commissioned to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and to let the Word of God change people, to see the Word of God change people. And so, like I said before, don't ever underestimate quoting Scripture to someone, because I remember myself reading the Bible before I was a believer, and how I didn't believe what the Bible said, but I was reading it, and eventually that word took hold in my life, and I gave my life to Jesus. So God does use human beings to preach His word, and I think it's one of the most important things that we would ever do in this life. So before I bring my guest on, I wanted to play a few clips on YouTube. You can go to YouTube. And a few years back, Donnie Swaggart preached a sermon on pulpit pimps in the pulpit. And it was really a fiery sermon. I was quite surprised to hear Donnie coming against the prosperity preachers the way he did. And really, we are doing this program today. Hopefully, maybe the Swaggarts will listen and come back to preaching the gospel out of a pure heart. I've noticed some of the fundraising gimmicks that they're using on their new network, the Sun Life Broadcasting Network, that they have a full-time television network now. And I'm quite amazed at Donnie making this turnaround from years ago when he preached this sermon about how preachers are trying to trick people into giving them their money, when now it seems like they've turned to it themselves. But let's bring up this clip.
And on the cross, the church must come back, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The church must have a reformation of Christ and Him.
Now, that sermon was a great sermon by Donnie Swaggart, and I believe at the time he meant what he was saying. And why? I want to know why. Donnie, what happened? Why did you go backwards? Here's another clip from Donnie Swaggart.
Where tonight are the preachers that will stand up and take a stand? Where are they? We need Jeremiah. We need some Daniels. We need some Isaiah. We need some Jehoshaphat. We need some David. We need some Hezekiah that says, I'm sick and tired of a dirty temple. It's time to clean it up.
Well, I have to agree with Donnie there. It's time to clean it up. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to play these two other clips right before I bring my guests on. So bear with me. Here's another clip from Donnie Swaggart.
I'm mad. I'm tired of God's people being fleeced. Listen, you better hang on and buckle your seatbelts. We don't need any more prosperity pimps leading the church into spiritual idolatry. I said, we don't need any more prosperity pimps leading the church down a primrose path of destruction. We don't need any more snake oil salesmen. We need men of God who will stand behind a pulpit and preach the gospel. I'm going to say it again. If you're preaching that lie of the dream, you are a prosperity pimp. I said, if your gospel is the gospel of greed.
Well, you can't find any fault with that kind of preaching. If your gospel is a gospel of greed, then you're a prosperity pimp. And I'm going to bring my guests on here. Hi, Karen.
Yes. Good afternoon, Susan.
How are you? I'm going to bring Marianne on now.
Good.
Hi, Marianne.
Hello.
How are you today?
Are you? I'm very good. How are you?
Good. I wanted to know, Marianne, were you there when Donnie preached that sermon?
I don't know the exact date of that, but I've been there for the last 2 years physically at the church, but also listening as a media church member since probably 2005, so probably yes.
Yeah. Now, I was quite impressed when I heard that sermon a few years ago, and I've been watching the some of the fundraising techniques that they have been using on the Sun Life Broadcasting Network, and Donnie has seemed to have made a complete turnaround, where now he's using the same gimmicks as the prosperity pimps that he was preaching against. So with you being there, what did you notice as far as what was changing? Or has it always been the same in the years that you were there associated with the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries?
Well, no, I would say that was one of the things that drew me. I was previously in the Word of Faith movement for the last 30 years of my life. And
wow.
By hearing the message of the cross that was preached out of, especially from Francis and friends' show, I began to realize that I was following a wrong doctrine, and I had to renounce and repent of that belief and that doctrine. And so I began to listen to Francis and friends because they would, consistently expose false doctrine, false teachers, wrong doctrine. So that's where I really began to respect, what they were teaching and preaching and the message of the cross. However, when I heard that first term, the message of the cross, I'd never heard that before, as the way they were using it in a different, instead of just calling it the gospel, everything is about the message of the cross. But yes, to answer your question, in the last 2 years especially, something very stark has changed because I'm a very careful note taker. When I go to church, when I listen to a sermon, I take careful notes, patterns of things that change always have caught my attention. And I've definitely seen a change in things that have been said and discussed, especially in the fundraising area.
Yeah.
So
what do you think happened? Because it looked to me, I think this sermon, I'm not exactly sure the date of this sermon, but I think I came across it about 3 years ago, and I put it up on my website. I was very impressed, and it seemed to me that Donnie preached it from his heart. What do you think happened?
Well, I have a lot of... I just feel the Lord showed me a lot of things over that have happened in my heart and just discernment, and they've been confirmed a lot just in the last few weeks, especially from Karen's website and her articles, things I was just searching on my own. But I feel that, at best, maybe the pressure of just trying to climb back up to the status that they once had, and I've always sensed a little bit of a chip on their shoulder against everyone that took them down off their pedestal. I just noticed there just always seemed to be a hurt you know, in that. But there is a lot of pride that they're coming back. They're coming back up.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, a lot of that pressure, but aligning themselves back up with those that are making the money and the networking that's going, I think, possibly going on between them. I believe, you know, the pressure also of supposedly the monthly bills that have to be paid to stay on the air.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
Susan, I know
you know, we hope that Brother Swaggart and his family can receive the healing that they need, because really they have to realize that it was no human being that took them down. It was God Almighty. And sometimes God has to knock us down to bring us back up, because it's a very, when pride, especially when you're, you have such a visible ministry and people are idolizing you the way they did with Brother Swaggart, there is a lot of pride involved. And that's one thing that God hates. God hates pride. And he will try to get our attention when we get into pride. And I really think it's very, very sad what's become of them, because I think when Brother Swaggart fell, when he was discovered soliciting prostitutes way back, and it was a hurtful time for us in the body of Christ. I'm sure Karen remembers it, and you remember it as well, how much it hurt all of us, because we loved him. And but God gives us every opportunity to repent. And I want the listeners to know that the reason we're doing this program today is because we hope and pray that the Swaggarts will repent and come back to preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ, even if it means going off television. So what? You can have an internet ministry. You can be on YouTube for free and have a television ministry. It doesn't cost you anything. And then you don't have all this pressure with the bills, and then you start preaching a false gospel. So what does that benefit? It really doesn't benefit the kingdom of God to appear on television with these fundraising techniques that it looks like Donnie himself called them snake oil salesmen, but it looks like they're doing the same thing. But Karen, I wanted to, I know that you have many articles yourself on your website, The Liberty Advocate. And I want to introduce some of my listeners. We've done a few programs together, Karen and I have. And Karen was educated at the Pat Robertson's school there in Virginia Beach, the law school, and she is an attorney. And she has her website, The Liberty Advocate, and she is a very, very good writer. She's a good researcher. But Karen, why did you post your articles about the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries?
Well, actually, Suzanne, at the time, I had thought about writing articles about Islam. But I was in Georgia in October of 2010, and my mom does watch Jimmy Swaggart. She loves the music, and my husband and I and my mother were watching one of Swaggart's Crusade classics. And
yeah.
Over the years, I have wondered, you know, has Jimmy Swaggart really repented? I know we saw his 1988 public confession, but that wasn't a true confession, as evidenced by his, you know, soliciting prostitutes after that. So I listened to the sermon, and I don't know where it was. It was before his fall, and he told this story, and he was crying and telling the story about a young man who was just in bondage to pornography, and he loved the Lord with all his heart, and he was really saved, but he was in bondage to pornography. Well, it was like, okay, Jimmy Swaggart, he didn't really repent. He's really talking about himself. You know, he would turn around, and you know, over the years, he's probably the only pastor or preacher I've ever heard that would come out and say, whores and whoremongers, and you're going to hell. And, you know, he didn't hold back. But in this one instance, in this little story, now, for some reason, he was saying this person was saved. And I thought, Jimmy, you're talking about yourself. You haven't really repented. And so I started watching Francis and Friends. Well, let me say, I was kind of disappointed because I really hoped he had repented. Boy, Susan and Marianne, you know, we need a man of God right now who can be have a media ministry and reach people.
Yeah.
So I really hope he
repented. Brother Swaggart knows the word. You know, there's no doubt about that. He does really know the word. And,
right.
And he can sure preach.
Right.
I mean, talking about somebody that's gifted.
And
preaching.
He's a great singer, too.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, he's a very, God has really gifted him. He's very charismatic. And
right.
I love Brother Swaggart. I mean, I do have a place in my heart for him.
Right.
It grieves me
yes.
to see the direction that, you know, he's headed right back to where he was,
right
back to the place where he fell and had that tremendous fall. And the whole family, even the grandson, Gabriel, has... he's following right in their footsteps. So there isn't anyone there that's saying, ho, wait a minute.
Right.
You know, and thank God for Marianne, you know, being there and being a witness to the changes and she could see what was happening there. She's an eyewitness because she went to church there. So, yes, you're absolutely right,
really
Karen. We need a man of God.
Right. Well, and I really hope that people do understand today that what the three of us are saying and our real desire is to see the Swaggarts repent and turn around and start preaching the true gospel. You know, it might, as you said, it might cost them money or whatever. But and going back to, I started watching Francis and Friends, and she would talk about pornography. Well, she would call sin, sin. She'd, you know, drunkenness, that's a sin. But when it came to pornography, Frances would say, oh, that's a powerful addiction. Okay, then she would switch over to a psychology term, which, of course, the Swaggarts also denounce psychology.
Yeah.
So you can't fit it, you know what I'm saying. If it comes to me, okay, if I'm addicted to pornography, I'm saved, but now you're not. Or... it's a powerful addiction for me, but for you it's a sin.
Yeah.
So he would contradict himself, and Francis would do the same thing. And so I was constantly sending emails to them, and when I watched Francis, I'm like, why are you saying this? Or they would denounce Word of Faith, and then they'd turn around and make a Word of Faith statement. Like, okay. And then, of course, they're
exactly.
always talking. Yeah, you know. It's like, well, I thought you were against Word of Faith. You just made a Word of Faith statement. And, of course, their big thing is don't send. And Mrs. Francis is really big on this. Don't send your money to anybody else because they're not preaching the gospel. You need to send your money to us.
Yes.
She would stress that repeatedly. And I don't. Don't send it to anybody else because they're not preaching the gospel. We're the only ones preaching the true gospel.
Oh.
And in fact, I just want to make a comment. A couple of comments about what Swaggart has said, that he claims that God physically locked him in his car and told him he is the only evangelist called to preach the gospel.
Oh,
now
wow.
That's pretty arrogant, Susan.
Now that's,
that means,
but that's also very dangerous.
It is, it is. And he claims his new ministry will be the greatest ministry since Jesus' ministry. Now these are actual quotes. Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No. Oh,
so
no.
These are some of the really bold, arrogant statements that Swaggart has made, trying to get people to send their money. You know, I'm the only evangelist called to preach the gospel, and I'm going to have the greatest ministry since Jesus, so don't send your money anywhere else.
Dear.
So that means, Susan, you and I don't know, we're little small-time evangelists, you know, according to Swaggart. We really haven't been called.
Oh, yeah, right.
Right,
well.
Yeah.
He's
the only
one. Well, we're not for sale either. You know, I'm going to preach the gospel if I have to go to, you know, get a job doing something else to support it. I'm going to do it. Nobody's going to stop me from preaching the gospel, and the gospel's free. Anybody that has a mouth can preach the gospel. That doesn't cost anything. So.
Mm-hmm.
I have a there's someone that has called in, so let's see what this caller has to say here. Hello, caller.
Yes, good day. I am really happy to see that someone is beginning to expose Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. And I think that the error you're talking about is it's a much, much deeper error. And I think a lot of his error begins with you were hitting the nail on the head in a couple places. But I think a lot of his error, if you ever go into his so-called Bible, which you'll find is about 80% of his red letter commentary and about 20% scripture, and the red letters of Jesus are removed, and they're now given to Jimmy Swaggart.
Oh.
And I've heard the statements, too, where he claims he will speak. He actually claims he's preached more than Jesus. He said that quite regularly. And if you go, I think it's John 21:25, John writes that all the volumes that have ever written could not contain the words that
amen.
Jesus preached.
Amen.
I find it so offensive that he even compares himself to Jesus, the incredible arrogance. And also, the thing that bothers me so much about him is his slander of the Apostle Paul. If you go into his notes, one of the things that he says that Paul, as a Christian, was living under the law and unable to stop sinning. You can find that, I think it's his commentary on Romans 7:15. In fact, I'll read it to you. Refers to sin in his life, speaking of Paul, which he doesn't want to do and in fact hates, but finds himself unable to stop. Unfortunately, due to the fact of not understanding the cross as it refers to sanctification, this is the plight of Christians. Now, here's the thing that really bothers me. 1 John 5:18 tells us that they that are born of God sin not. They're not born-again pornographers. If you're born of God, you sin not, and the wicked one doesn't touch you. And there's absolutely no record. If you go from Acts chapter 9:20, you will find there is no record in the scriptures where Paul ever lived a life of sin where he was able to, as a Christian, where he was unable to stop. He didn't get bitten by a viper and heal the man in the book of Acts and then say, excuse me, I got to run off and see some prostitutes. I'll be right back. He tries to degrade Paul and bring him into his position.
Well,
and
his position, it sounds like he knows what's in his own heart. To me, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
So he's trying to say, look, Paul was a man just like I am.
Absolutely, Susan.
Yeah.
And Paul was not a man. Paul was not a man just like he is. Paul was a man like John. They kept themselves from sin. They yielded to righteousness. And the whole idea, you see, here's the thing that is so dangerous about him. He believes he's been given a special revelation from God. You can read it in his book, right in the beginning, Brother Swaggart, Here's My Question About the Cross, where he states that no one has ever preached a cross till he himself has been given this revelation of preaching the cross. And that Paul, I've also seen him say in his magazines and on television that he has more light than the Apostle Paul. And that is such a contradiction. That is such a complete contradiction. In fact, you can go to, I think it's his December of 2004, his magazine, where he speaks that he has more light than the Apostle Paul.
Wow.
And the scripture teaches that Peter writes that there's no greater revelation than the scriptures. No one is going to be given revelation that's greater than the scriptures. That's Mormonism. That's Moonism. There's no such a thing. God is not going to give more light to Jimmy Swaggart than he did to the Apostle Paul. God is not going to give more. The Apostle Paul is a hero. You should usually see that most false teachers always start slandering the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is one of my heroes. And he did not live a life as a Christian in sin where he was unable to stop because he lacked a light of the cross. And Jimmy Swaggart doesn't have more light than the Apostle Paul. Jimmy Swaggart is your classic false teacher. And people are in deep danger when they begin to follow a man who says he has more light than the scriptures.
Yes. There's someone that came into the chat room, and they're saying that some of the things that you said that Jimmy Swaggart said he never said it. He says about sitting in a car and being the only one called to preach the gospel.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll be happy to read it right out of his Bible and refute what this caller calling in said. I'll be very happy to read it right from his Bible.
Okay,
if you were to
have
go to page, yeah, it's right in front of me. Romans 7:13.
All right.
It's in page 1982 of his. I don't like to call it a Bible. I don't consider this is an abomination to take the red letter of Jesus out and replace it with yours in red letter and have the scriptures buried in your commentary. But here's what it states. But what I do, that do I, it refers to sin in his life, which he doesn't want to do, and in fact hates, but finds himself unable to stop. Unfortunately, due to the fact of not understanding the cross as it refers to sanctification, this is the plight of most modern Christians. That's word for word. I just read word for word.
Well, she's saying that about sitting in a car, the quote about him sitting in a car and being the only one called to preach the gospel. Karen, was that you that made that comment?
Yes, Susan, that was me, and that
and
was
where
a comment.
And where can this person reference that comment? Because they're saying that he didn't say that.
That was in the book written by Marvin Gorman's attorney.
Okay. So would you give us a little background on the lawsuit that was filed against the Jimmy Swaggart Ministry? Marvin Gorman, another Assembly of God pastor, Pentecostal preacher, filed a lawsuit against Jimmy Swaggart, and the attorney wrote a book, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And for some reason, I cannot think of the name of it right now.
Okay.
And
I'll see if I can find it.
It says something about Prey, P-R-E-Y. I do know that. Maybe somebody can look it up and call it in.
Marianne, did you say you need
the
title?
I just said, is it Let Us Pray?
I believe that's correct.
Yeah, Let Us, P-R-E-Y.
Yes,
right. Okay, Let Us Pray. And do you remember the name of the attorney that wrote the book?
Lundy. I can't remember if that's his first or last name.
Okay, the person in the chat room, the book is called Let Us Pray. I'm sure you could find it on the internet, and it's P-R-E-Y. And it is a book written by the attorney for Marvin Gorman that sued Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. So you can get that quote in that book. But go ahead, Karen.
So Marvin Gorman was an Assemblies of God minister in Louisiana. And at the time that he was building his ministry, this is the time where Jimmy Swaggart was going around exposing Marvin Gorman and Jim Baker and denouncing them for their adultery and fornication. And he was exposing all this. Of course, unfortunately, he was doing that at the same time. So Marvin Gorman did file a lawsuit for slander against the Swaggarts. Because Gorman was insisting he did not have these numerous affairs that Jimmy Swaggart was telling everyone that he did have. So there was a huge lawsuit filed, and Marvin Gorman did win the lawsuit, and they did have a financial settlement. It's been a while since I've read the book, and I will say, now, did I believe everything that his attorney said in the book? No, of course not. Of course he made Marvin Gorman out to be a saint.
Yeah, which he wasn't.
You know. And there were some things in there, frankly, that he said about the Swaggarts that I didn't believe. You know, there were some pretty bad things in there, and I won't even repeat them because I don't want rumors to be started. I didn't believe them.
Yeah, right.
But now this about whether God physically locked him in his car and told him he's the only evangelist. Well, let's say he didn't say that, but he said some things so close to that I wouldn't be surprised he said that. He did say, now Swaggart has said, I heard him with my own ears say, he has been in the spirit at least three times to King David's inauguration or crowning.
Oh.
Okay, I've heard him
really?
Say that with my own ears. I've heard him say on TV his ministry will be the greatest ministry in history since Jesus' ministry. I've heard him say that.
Okay.
And I've heard him say that he's been given the greatest revelation about the message of the cross, greater than the Apostle Paul. I've heard him say that. Those to me are far worse than he's the only evangelist. But
yeah,
he could,
well,
you know, that just sounds like
now,
him.
Now, Marianne, you were there. You were. How many years did you actually attend the church there in Baton Rouge?
I have been attending for 2 years.
Okay. And so have you ever heard Jimmy Swaggart say any of these things there at the church?
I don't know that I've heard those you know, in those particular words, but I would have to say this, in just my gaining it from an attitude from the pulpit, that is the attitude I receive in discerning from the pulpit, from all of the ministers and the message that they want the audience to receive, and that's what I understood, just what you said.
Yeah.
Well, you can look back.
Pardon?
Susan, they can go back and look in some of his recent articles or in his articles from The Evangelist and that, and he makes these comments.
Okay,
you know.
So he still publishes that magazine, The Evangelist.
Yes, he does, and it's available online. They can look at it and read what he says.
Okay, then. So anyone that would like to go to Jimmy Swaggart's website and request any of these copies of The Evangelist. I'm sure that Karen has documented. You have documented those quotes on your website with the volume or the book where you took it from. I'm sure you did.
Well, no, these last quotes, I heard him say those. Those came from his own lips on SBM.
Okay, then.
Now, they might go back and try to erase them because...
Yeah.
You know, they did that with the with him when he was condemning contemporary Christian music, and I had a YouTube video on there of him saying words about contemporary Christian music, and I was talking about how now he's turned around, and even though he used to condemn it, now he's condoning it, and within a day or two, that YouTube was yanked off.
Yeah.
He did not want you to hear the words he once preached.
Yes. Well, they do that, but...
Yeah, you know that.
Yeah, they do that. I've noticed that, too, that some of the things that I've heard people say, and then when they get called on it, they remove it, and
right.
It's like they never said it. But, now, Marianne, why did you leave Jimmy Swaggart Ministries?
Well, I left... The last Sunday I was there was Easter Sunday. I walked out, and I knew I would never set foot in there again, and I felt a complete freedom and a release like I've never known before. I've never seen in all of my life so much corruption, hypocrisy, lawlessness, arrogance, and indifference, and mistreatment of people, just an indifference towards the hurting and the needy, and just there's so much I can't even put it in a net. This, you know, it's I could go on for unending to tell you the unbelievable things I've seen, witnessed, heard. There's a great deal of something rotten growing here, and it cannot all hide under a rug. It's all just too many scandals and things that are currently occurring. That I cannot, in order to stay there, I would have to completely throw out all of my common sense, the Word of God, my basic human decency that I was raised with. I just couldn't stay there and sleep at night.
Yeah. Now, what, as far as what kind of abuse, now, was there spiritual abuse there against especially the people that were working in the ministry?
Yes, it's funny. I came and began in the church. My children began at Crossfire. I also put my children at their school. Immediately, just out of the woodwork, many, many people would come to me that I really didn't even know, and they begin to tell me painful, painful stories of being just so mistreated by the people that are running this ministry. And I really, it was burning my ears. I thought, you know, why are so many people coming to me and telling me these horrible stories? Because I don't want to hear this. I wanted to be at this ministry. I wanted my children to be there. I wanted to, you know, just really feed from the Word and get ministered to. I hadn't had a church in a long time. So I'm being assaulted by these terrible stories that, really, you know, I couldn't I couldn't turn away and ignore them, because these people, I could tell their spirits were so broken and so destroyed. And I began to see, really, there's a huge population of just ravaged people that this ministry has just destroyed around here. I don't know really how many people they've brought to the Lord salvation-wise. I can't see that. I can't ever see the result of that, of the money I've given towards that. All I see around here is dead and rotting carnage, and people that they've just abused. And I don't see the lifestyle living, and I don't see the fruit that should be growing out of a properly preached message at all.
Yes. Yes. So do they have an apartment complex there where people that work for the ministry, they actually live there?
Yes, they have. They call it the Towers. They have dormitories where the Bible college students live, and they also have another half of it where people in the community also can rent apartments. So,
oh, I see. So it's not just for the staff.
Right. Really, I don't know that any staff really live there. Some do, yes, but mostly, you know, Bible college students, they would use it in the summers for their youth camp, for the kids to stay in there during the summer.
Yeah.
And but yes,
so has
there.
The Bible college made a comeback of sorts? Do they still have a thriving Bible college there?
In my personal opinion, I moved here for one of the main reasons I felt that I wanted to go to their Bible college, and the Lord stopped me. The Lord absolutely stopped me from going, and I didn't understand why, but I began to see a fruit coming out of the Bible college that shocked me, and I don't think so. I don't think there's that many students, and the ones that I'm seeing, I'm not seeing any holiness, right living. I don't see what I came for. I don't see that message of the cross that hates sin and is willing to sacrifice and you know, live like the apostles and go into the dark places to get the gospel to the hurting, you know, world. I'm not saying there's some students that are doing that and that have that call, but for the most part, I'm not seeing that. I see a lot of the opposite. And I don't see it corrected or changed. I see it thriving.
Yes. Yeah, so I know that Karen had some pictures that were taken of Gabriel Swaggart, who is Donnie's son, and he's the youth pastor there, and of his wife and a few girls at a party holding a wine bottle and giving these funny hand signals that somebody told me were gang signals. I don't know. Marianne, did you see that photograph?
Yes, I did. A media church member who lives in another state, who is a very hardworking single mother who gives what she can to this ministry when she can and she supports it. She had sent that to me. It was on somebody's Facebook, and she had sent that to me, and it just broke her heart, because these people are paid their salary by my tithes and offerings and the donations of people. And in good faith, I'm thinking that these are godly people who have a heart to minister and live right and, you know, lift up the name of Jesus. But this is really actually the lifestyle and the way that they, you know, and they may say this is just a joke, we're just kidding around, you know, lighten up. But this is really, to be honest with you,
it's not a joke when somebody can have access to the pictures, an unsaved person. We have another caller here, and I'm going to take this call and see what they have to say. Oh, the caller left anyway.
Actually, Susan, that picture was taken in a bar in New Orleans. It was in a bar.
Yeah.
I just want people
and if
to
anybody
know
wants
that. It just
to
wasn't
see
a
the
picture taken at home clowning
Karen,
around.
Karen, do you have the link on your website to that photograph?
I believe I do.
Okay. There is a... If
I
you
can't
go
remember
to
which
the,
article it's in.
Okay. If you go to the Liberty Advocate, and Karen has a whole series of articles there. The person in the chat room is saying no, it wasn't. But yes, I saw the photograph, and yes, it was taken in a bar And it is Gabriel Swaggart's wife. There's about five girls in this photograph. I was quite shocked when I saw it, too. It was taken at Ruffin's restaurant in Baton Rouge. Well,
in the bar, in the bar.
It was in the bar, okay. They're holding a wine bottle.
Susan, this is a particular photograph that I came to speak with Gabriel Swaggart about that my friend had sent me. At the last of the school year, I came to him with two grievances about his people that he has on the stage singing and ministering, and this was one of the pictures that I showed him. And he said that he shook his head. He seemed very embarrassed, and he said, this was taken at Ruffino's here in Baton Rouge. The girls were just kidding around, blah, blah, blah. And I said, so do my tithes and offering pay these girls' salary to sing and stand on your stage and minister? And he said, yes. And I said, what a shame. I'm so embarrassed.
Well, I mean, he should have been embarrassed because I thought it was, I felt the same way. It's like, okay, when we're in ministry, yes, we all know we're human beings and none of us are perfect. But when we're in ministry, we're supposed to be giving a testimony when we go out in public, especially somebody that's as well known as the Swaggarts. And then you're in a restaurant and you're holding a wine bottle and you're giving gang signals. And
the way you're dressed.
And you're dressed immodestly. So, I mean, what kind of a testimony is that? That's not a good testimony in the first place. So if you're going to have that kind of a party, have it at somebody's house in a closed room, not out in public when other people are observing you and they're saying, well, that's a Christian, that's how a Christian lives. So what? Why would I want to be a Christian and act like that? It's not a good testimony. It's not a good testimony. I don't care if it was a bar or a restaurant or whatever.
Right.
It was a public establishment where everybody could see it.
Right.
And so that's what I'm saying. There's people out there that have a problem with alcohol. There's people that, and then they see a minister of the gospel out in public behaving like that, and they say, well, then why should I quit drinking? I've seen that myself.
Right. Right.
In a church that I attended where the pastor was out at a wedding in public and he was drinking, and some of the people came to me from the church and they said, well, Susan, why should we have to give up alcohol? We're alcoholics. Why should we have to give up alcohol when the pastor drinks?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, okay, that was a good statement, because why should we cause our brother to stumble? We're not supposed to do things that are going to cause people to stumble, especially if we're representing Jesus Christ. You have an international ministry. You have a worldwide ministry, and you're behaving like that. I thought the photograph was terrible. I mean, I was very, very sad to see it, because I just thought it was totally unnecessary to do it. So.
It was not just a disgrace to the Swaggarts. It was a disgrace to the body of Christ.
No, it was a disgrace to the body of Christ. I feel the same way. Anybody
that
wants to
see
the photograph, you can see it.
All of us claim to be believers.
And,
well, may I just say something, Susan?
Yeah.
I will tell you the most painful, shocking thing upon moving to Baton Rouge and coming here with just such a hunger and a panting after the truth and after the Word of God. The people in this community are so tainted and stained by what Brother Swaggart has done in the past. And not only that, his continued behavior that they know very well. He can't hide it from them. He can hide it in the cameras to the people all across America. But the people here know very well. And the disdain and the treatment I personally have received from people I have met here when I told them I moved here to go to Jimmy Swaggart's church and the Bible college and just different things. The people, there is a hostility that is so unbelievable. And at that time, I was so hurt, and I didn't understand why they couldn't, you know, just forgive. And he's repented. Go on. And as I begin to live here and see the hypocrisy, and it is not just a one-time picture. This is a thumbing your nose lifestyle that everyone in town and in this area knows this is how they live and they behave, and they don't care. They are proud of it. There's no shame.
Well, that's what I saw when I saw the photograph. It was like, yeah, we thumb our nose. We don't care.
No.
You know, we're rich.
There's
we're famous.
No brokenness
we
over
we have everything we want. So we preach the gospel. It comes out of our mouth, but we don't have to live it. So
Right. I'm completely tainted. I'm busy trying to wash my hands of the stain of this ministry off of my own credibility and witness to the people I've lived around in this area for the last 2 years, and try to make some semblance of what is actually going on. That is, and even pagans and heathens know better. They know what's right and wrong.
That's the truth. Now that is the truth, because we see. When you look at what they call Christian television, which is far from Christian anymore, and all you see is these money changers there, and it's an embarrassment to the body of Christ. It's an embarrassment to the gospel of Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ came to earth. He died on a cross for people, and we've been born again. We know what our life was like before Jesus, and we're born again, and we're supposed to lay down our life for people. And we see that it's just become a business where they get rich, they get famous, and then they forget why in the world they're preaching the gospel in the first place. Why are they preaching the gospel? Why isn't Jimmy Swaggart Ministries there in Baton Rouge making a statement for the gospel of Jesus Christ, caring for the homeless, caring for the hungry, caring for the widow, caring for the orphan, instead of worrying about buying airtime? It's nothing for them to raise $2 million in 2 days. For what? For television time? When there's people in Baton Rouge that have tremendous needs, and they just imagine how many people they could really be winning to the Lord if they said, okay, we're going to take this $2 million and we're going to go down and we're going to build some apartments, low-cost apartments for people. Or we're going to feed people. Or we're going to really do something that's going to help people instead of acting like a bunch of hypocrites. I'm saying this because I'm telling you, I love Brother Swagger. And I'm sure, Marianne, when you went there, you had a love in your heart for him.
Absolutely.
Because we know that he knows the Word of God. He knows better. That man knows. He read his Bible. You can tell by the way he talks. And I'm sure that you heard some good sermons there.
Absolutely, yes.
Well,
instead
of having the people send their own money in, I would tell...
Use their own money.
Use their own money. And plus,
there are
so many people who can barely live on their income, especially nowadays. And they send their money to the Swaggarts, and they go without food and utilities or gas. I know of older people who send their money that they can't afford to, and then they have to ask a family member, hey, can you get us some fuel for the winter?
Yes.
And they don't know the Swaggarts are living in a big mansion, driving big fancy cars, and going to Vegas. I mean, the story is, I don't know if this is true, that they love to go to Vegas. And first of all, I want to know, what are they doing in Vegas, Sin City? You know, if that's really true, why are Christians going to Vegas? Especially a minister like that. Well, we know what Vegas is mainly known for. You know, I don't need to tell you, it's not a place, prostitution, you know. And so why would Jimmy Swaggart put himself in a situation like that where he would be tempted? But anyway, they're living high where these poor, dear folks are sending their money and doing without. It's heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking. We want to tell the listeners, and we're going to carry this program over. I had booked 90 minutes today, so if you ladies can hold on. Can you hold on for another 30 minutes?
Yes, sure.
Okay, great. So we'll go on until 1:30. But I heard someone yesterday that called into the Jimmy Swaggart program. And it wasn't a senior citizen that was on a fixed income. And she said that, you know, thank God I'm able to send $30 a month here now. And I'm sacrificing my $30 a month to send to you. But I want to tell you that since I've been sending my $30, God has really blessed me. I actually got a job cleaning houses, and I'm getting more and more work. And it's because I sent you that $30. And they agreed with her that it was because she's signing that $30 that she's getting more work, and it was because she was sending it to the swaggers. Well, that's not true. Let me tell you people something, that you can't bribe God. You can't give God enough money to get him to do anything for you. Jesus Christ already came and shed his blood, and the way you get God to give you things is you pray and you ask. You don't have to sow any seeds to any ministries. You don't have to give any tithe money to any ministries to get God to do something for you. It's ridiculous. I mean, just think for a minute, people. Wake up out there. Think for 1 minute what you're doing when you actually believe that if you send $50 to a ministry, that that is going to move God's hand. Now, really, shake yourself out of that mess. It's not true. It's just not true. And anybody that has a love to preach the gospel is going to preach the gospel whether you send an offering or not. They're going to do it because they love God, and they'll lay down their life for their brethren. But it's very true that Jimmy Swaggart lives a very wealthy lifestyle. And if he's really so sincere about paying his bills, then let him sell his big mansion and his cars and his jewelry and his buildings and say, look, I'm going to be just like you, and I'm going to sacrifice too. But yet they refused to sacrifice for the sake of the gospel. And I'm sure when Marianne went there, she wanted to go there because she loved Brother Swaggart. She wanted to be a part of that ministry. I know how that is. I've been in that same situation where I've gone to ministers that I've respected. I moved thousands of miles away to be part of the ministry, volunteering, doing anything I could to be a part of what was going on, and I myself was very disillusioned, too, to see what was really going on in most of these well-known ministries. They've ceased to have a heart for the lost and become motivated by greed, and that's not the reason we do what we do. We do what we do because we know what Jesus Christ has done in our life, how he saved us, how he redeemed our life, and made something beautiful out of a stupid, messed up life that you have before Christ. And we can see how God is raising people up in, especially we have this community growing on the internet where God has given us a voice where maybe we couldn't have one before. And he's raising up this church without spot or wrinkle that cannot be bought. So praise God for that. I really, really praise the Lord for what he's doing and how he's put us together, Karen and Marianne. And Marianne is an eyewitness. She moved to Baton Rouge to be a part of this ministry. She came with a pure heart, and God opened up her eyes to see the things that were going on, and it's very, very, very sad. Now, Marianne, when you left the ministry, were you ostracized in any way?
I had already been ostracized. It was probably kind of a nonverbal, but it was in actions of many people that if I were to see them today, they continue that same behavior. I knew exactly what was going on. Many of them didn't realize I saw through their, their true character many months before, and that just confirmed it. When I stood up for something that was wrong, and I could not let it keep going on without speaking up, then I was turned against, and that's when I was made to feel that, I was no longer welcome.
Yes.
By several, different people. So.
Well, I heard, there's some testimonies also on the internet of some people that actually had worked there at the ministry, and how they were treated, especially by Francis.
Yes.
Who really runs that ministry there?
Well, I really do believe. I really gave them the benefit of the doubt the entire time I was there, and I really believe that the people that were running it were not right, because I could just tell by their associations and what they were interested in for entertainment and things they did in their spare time didn't reflect in my eyes or according to the Word of God what a true Christian. So I thought the people that are running this ministry are not true Christians. They're involved in corrupt living. But I still gave the Swaggers the benefit of the doubt, and I believe that they were still right. But over the summer, after I left and I had to separate myself, the Holy Spirit began to deal with me and convict me and show me things. And, you know, he confirmed what he was telling me through other friends of mine who had the exact same experience. And it began with things that were said at the pulpit that pricked my heart with conviction. It began with the Expositor Study Bible. It began to trouble me when I would read scripture and the Holy Spirit would speak something to me personally from that scripture, what he was trying to teach me. Then if I dropped down and read the commentary, it was completely opposite. They were fighting against each other, and I was just praying to God, what is going on here? And really I became to the point where I felt that by the midpoint of summer that I had to look to the very root, the source of the corruption has to go to the head of the ministry. The buck has to stop at Jimmy and Francis. And I do believe that there is a corrupt root that has taken a hold, and there's a stronghold of just lawlessness, and it's very powerful. And I just had to walk away. But I don't read the Expositor Study Bible anymore. I had to put it away, and I had to go back to a regular King James Bible. And I really do feel and realize that there is a false doctrine, there's a false teaching, and it began to show me in the fruit of the people. And I'm not talking about just the regular people that I went to church with, a lot of very sincere people. I'm talking about people in leadership. The fruit of their lives was lawlessness, corruption, sin, covering up sin, bullying, intimidation for anybody that really wants to point out sin. Something's wrong. Something's wrong when we're covering up sin and we're calling it our little struggles. And I told them that's not the message of the cross.
Yeah. Yes, amen to that. When we're covering up our little struggles. Well, the mention of the cross, if it's the message of the cross, then it's the message about sin and not covering up our little struggles.
Right.
So when you put it in that way, covering up our little struggles, well, that means that definitely you have a struggle. And when you keep trying to cover up your little struggle, then, yes, the corruption is there at the head, and then it filters down to the rest of the people that are there. So when you keep trying to cover things up, that's when you start getting into so much error. And you can look at a scripture, and so then you take that scripture and you suit it for yourself, to try to cover things up. You say, okay, well, it says this, and it doesn't really say that. Like when you were reading that Bible, and you realize that God was showing you what that scripture said, but then Jimmy Swaggart had a completely different interpretation of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I noticed that on his program, he reads he reads quite a bit from that Bible, and he seems to read more of his commentary than he does. I could never follow along with it. I mean, that thing, when he talks like that, it totally confuses me. I could never follow when he was reading. Somebody would read the scripture, and then he would read his commentary. But now, is Jimmy Swaggart still Assembly of God?
No,
he
refused to be disciplined by the Assemblies of God. You know, after his fall, they wanted to discipline him, and he refused to be disciplined by them, so he left and became non-denominational.
Oh, I see. So he's no longer affiliated. I know he has quite a few distinguished-looking men that surround him, and were some of these men from the Assemblies of God?
I'm assuming you're talking about the associate pastors, and I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know if Mary Ann knows much about their background. I think Jim Nations was a Baptist at one time. The others, I don't know.
I do believe, I know that Pastor Dave Smith and Jim Woolsey, I know that they are, were, you know.
Oh, assemblies?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, because he seems like he's got some good people that, you know, came there to help him, but now they've basically just become yes people because they're not trying to point out the errors and trying to get things corrected. It just seems like they're getting paid big salaries, and so they're just keeping their mouth shut. But anybody that has a ministry, you should have people around you that can make corrections if they have to. It's like on the internet, we have people that have similar ministries, and if they see something that you're doing, that might make a comment to you. Well, you know, don't go there, or here's the correction. And you look at it, and you make the judgment, and you say, yeah, well, they're right. I mean, the body of Christ, we're here to minister to each other. And if we see somebody going off, of course, we can make a comment and present them with the Word of God. And any normal person is going to receive correction. But when a minister cannot receive correction, then something is wrong. Something is very wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Swaggerts, hopefully, maybe they'll listen to this program and see, here is a lady, Mary Ann, that came to your ministry with a heart to serve, a heart to learn, and she's brokenhearted at what she saw, what she experienced. Her experience is real. And I would love to see them. I would love to see the Swaggerts get down on their knees and repent and start all over again, even
Amen.
If it means giving up everything
Amen.
That they've built, because it isn't built on a solid foundation, and it's going to crumble. It's going to crumble. We saw that back in the 80s, and how it hurt. It hurt so bad. You can't imagine how it hurt us. The body of Christ, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jim Baker fell, when Jimmy
mm-hmm.
Swaggart fell, and Jim Baker's place, it's like a ghost town over there. If anybody wants to see the photographs of the PTL ministry, the before and after, the buildings, decrepit buildings, and everything falling apart, multiple millions of dollars spent. And it's just in total decay, except for the hotel, which Rick Joyner purchased, and another false prophet leading people astray. And God, it was no man that tore that thing down or destroyed it. God took it down. And it's easier to repent and in your secret place, and to have God expose you publicly to all the world and embarrass you. And nobody wants to see that. So we hope that when we do programs like this, that these people can be ministered to, that they can be helped, that they can listen to what was said today, things that were said that came from a pure heart, and that they can repent and change, because we do need some Jeremiahs. We do need some Isaiahs. We do need some Hezekiahs. Yeah,
Amen.
We do need some Davids, some Miriams, some Deborahs. And, yeah, we do. And we want to portray the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world the way he should be portrayed. And that's what breaks our hearts, is that when we see the gospel being used for people's gain and not to minister to other people. You know, here you have a ministry that has a large TV network. They have their own network. That costs millions of dollars. They have a Bible college. They have a youth ministry. They have a church. They have so many things going that can be used for good. And it's falling apart. And eventually it's going to crumble. So before it crumbles, it's just easier to repent and try to get back on track with God. And so we're praying for Brother Swagger. We pray that him and Francis and his family gather together and seek the Lord and make the changes that need to be made before it's too late. Before it's too late, because we see, you know, we see the end approaching, and we see so many things going on in the world, wars and rumors of wars, and the earthquakes, and the hurricanes, and the floods, and every week it's something else that's happening, and yet we've got a church that they're just partying. They don't take any of these things seriously, and
well, Susan, you know, they call their now the platform is called a stage, you know. So
oh,
they're
really
just on a stage. Yeah. They're on a stage. So it's just a performance. You know, there's a big difference between a stage and a platform. But they call it the stage. Jimmy Swaggart, they actually call it the stage, according to, I think, Tareva Henderson, who is one of their singers. She called it a stage. And I don't know, Marianne, do they call it a stage?
I've heard, you know, several different things. I would just say being there and watching it, it is a performance, and everything is very important to be done for the cameras. When the cameras are off, then the show's over. But you're welcome to buy all of our products. And if anybody comes in to sing, they quick make a CD of it and start promoting it and selling it on the radio station. Everything is for sale. If you happen to get caught on the camera, they'll use your most private moment crying and praying, and they'll photograph you. Everything is for advertisement, promotion of their ministry as a gimmick.
Well, my husband calls it the Jimmy Swaggart Shopping Network.
That's what it's become.
Right,
you know, it has become the QVC. Or the Home Shopping Network, and because it's a constant, it's almost constant appeal for funds. What's the sense of going on with a Christian television program or a radio program when all you just use your time to raise money? That's not preaching the gospel.
Right.
That's just a fundraising way to raise funds. So if you're going to buy airtime, use it to preach the gospel. It is fundraising and telethons and like you said, the shopping network. But Marianne, since you've left, and so how have you been now since you've left, and what do you see? What have the changes been in your own life and in your family?
Well, at first it was very, very painful. I spent probably from April until July just so ill. Broken over having, number one, spent so much of our money, our family's money, donating and trying to promote and help, you know, the Swaggart ministry, and thinking that we were, you know, putting the money towards souls. I felt very humiliated that I was probably their biggest sucker. My Facebook was consistently, daily filled with promoting, you know, sermons, songs, their share-a-thons. I answered the telephones. I did anything and everything that I could do. I feel like I completely gave myself over. I feel like, really, this is vulgar, but I feel like I've been spiritually and financially raped and raked over the coals.
Yeah.
I had a lot of nights of waking up panic struck, just sick to my stomach, not
what happened to the call there? Did we lose Marianne?
Marianne, are you still there?
Marianne?
Well, can I read a scripture, Susan? In case, so she can call back or something? Because I want people to know, you know, and I'm sure you get this too, that we're not supposed to be judging one another, and we should not be exposing our, you know, false teachers and preachers. But, you know, Jesus himself says, beware of false prophets. And how do they come to us? Which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And then he goes on, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So we're just discussing the fruits today, you know. And people
That's
say, well, you can't. They say, well, you can't judge somebody's heart. Well, Jesus, we are. You can judge their heart. Evil fruits are evidence of a wrong heart, because Jesus even says, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications. So how do you judge their heart? By their fruits.
That's right.
You know, they might say,
Marianne,
well,
we lost you there right in the middle of your conversation.
I'm sorry. I'm back.
Yeah, go ahead, Marianne.
Yeah, but go on. Right in the
I'm sorry.
I can feel it with the scripture for you.
Yeah.
That was good. I just knew that when I left, I felt like my flesh was tearing, because in my heart I truly, truly loved so many people, and I still do. And I felt like the Lord gave me that love. I didn't have it on my own, but I love them, and I miss them. I miss their, you know, whether it was fake friendship or not, I love them because just of the love of the Lord. But I had a tearing away of that, and the Lord had to heal that tear, which he did over the summer. But he quickly came to my rescue as I cried out to him, and I needed the truth. I needed to see where I was wrong and I was misled. And I had to take a very fast exit away from this ministry and separate myself. And that's where Karen's website helped me so much. Just prayer and travailing and crying to God. And, he met my need, and he always meets your need. So I'm good. I'm very good. I'm stuck here in Baton Rouge. My husband has never been able to come here, and he's never been able to find a job here. So we've been living apart for 2 years. His plan was to eventually come here, and our family joined back together. So it's been a hardship. It's been a great sacrifice, and we've sacrificed financially, thinking that, you know, we were, you know, paying into the kingdom of heaven and into helping people hear the gospel. And I will say this. I want to tell people, whether you believe anything I've said or not, and you find any of the spiritual things, you know, worthy of listening to, if it touches your heart, as a wife of a CEO of a hospital, I've seen my husband run hospitals, and I know good management. And I will just say this. In these hard times and in our economy, we must be very careful where we put our money. We need to be good stewards of what God has given us. And just on the outside observation of my eyes, this is a very wasteful ministry. It is a very mismanaged ministry. There is not one cent worry. They don't worry about spending great amounts of money on what they want or need when it comes to high-dollar items, cameras, anything, equipment for the television department, the radio, whatever they need. They don't just go small. They buy the biggest and the best. They don't spare any money, but they do act like they are in great need, and we're just, you know, we're desperate for your money. And so they do plead, you know, and people give, but I don't see a well-managed, taken care of ministry where things are taken care of, or people that really don't have any experience or education are paid higher salaries. I would just say, if you can't prove where your money's going, and you can't, you know in your heart that it's really going to what you want it to go, you know, to for souls, I don't really think people should wisely give $1 to this ministry. I think it is going to much waste and for their own profit.
Yes, for their own profit. Well, we can see that, but it's like you said, we can take our money and we can see a need. We can hear from God for ourselves, and we can reach out to people, whether we do it anonymously or however we choose to do it, to help someone in need without having to get the pastor's permission to to help people, without our money having to go to oh, the storehouse, which the storehouse happens to be in the Old Testament. It was actually a building that they stored food in. And so I'm sure that they really don't have that kind of a storehouse in most churches that you attend today. But we've seen the gospel become so perverted. And we want to have a reformation. We want to see a change. I think all of us, and I can really sympathize with Marianne because I understand what it is. You know, you leave everything behind and you go move somewhere to be a part of a ministry, and it's a big sacrifice, and then you find out you made one big mistake, and you have to try to correct that mistake. And so God in his mercy, he does help us. But it's a good thing that you realized, Marianne, what was going on before it was too late, and that you're recovering. It is very painful when you love a ministry and you happen to love the head of the ministry very much. I know I've been in that position. Karen, her father was an Assembly of God pastor, so she grew up around ministry all her life. She knows what it is. And when you love these people, and then you're so disappointed. Because we kind of have this Pollyanna idea that everything is beautiful, everywhere we go, everything is beautiful, and everybody is wonderful, and everybody loves the Lord the way we love the Lord, but then we find out that's not really true. So we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ today. We don't put our faith and trust in any human being, because the Bible says, cursed is the man who puts his trust in man, and we want to see a change. We want to see the preaching of the gospel come back to soul winning and a heart for the lost, a heart for the poor, a heart to help our brothers and sisters when they have a need. And we're so grateful for our guest today, Karen Pansler Lamb, and her website, The Liberty Advocate. And Marianne Riley, who was a member of Jimmy Swaggart's church there in Baton Rouge. And we hope and pray that one of the Swaggarts will listen to this YouTube. I probably will be, I probably will post most of this interview on YouTube in the future. We will have that available for the public. It's also available on Blog Talk Radio. It will be archived, and it'll be up there for anybody to listen to go back to listen to, if you want some of your friends to listen to it. It's prophetic news on Blog Talk Radio, so that will be available until it's taken down. Who knows who will take it down? I won't, but maybe when Jesus comes, it will be taken down. But it's out there. That word is out there to minister to you. And I would like both of my guests, before we close, first Marianne, to have a word of prayer for our listeners, and then Karen.
You want me to pray?
Yes.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I just bless your holy name, and I praise you for who you are and for your truth. Lord, I pray that your word would go forth and your truth would penetrate people's hearts right now. I pray that they would get into your word and they would hear for themselves from you. I pray, God, that you would direct them what they need to do and where they need to go with their finances, with their donations. Father, just let your truth go forth. Protect people and heal these people who have been abused, that have been hurt. Just let your will be done, and we just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. And Karen?
Dear Lord, oh, your people. Lord, we need men and women who will stand up for your word and speak the truth, and speak the truth in love. We need men and women who will glorify your name, not name ministries after themselves or seek their own self-glorification. But before we have that, we need men and women who want to know, they hunger and thirst after righteousness, they hunger and thirst after the truth, and the only way they're going to know that is if they study your word.
Yeah.
Lord, yeah. It just grieves my heart that there are so few preachers today on television who are truly preaching the gospel. If there are, they're probably someone we don't even know. They're probably a name we don't even know. But, oh, this medium could be used for such a great and mighty work. We could win so many souls for you, Lord. I pray, Father, that you touch the swaggart's heart. If they listen to this, Lord, speak to their heart. Cause them to drop to their knees and cry out in real repentance and say, Lord, forgive me and use me. And help all of us, Lord, to search our own hearts. Let us each search our own heart and say, Lord, use me, whether it's on the internet, in my family, wherever, at work. Because in these last days, there is such wickedness going on, and people really want to know the truth, and many souls will be lost if they're not going to hear the truth. Lord, raise us up, give us strength, and give us the courage and boldness to proclaim the pure gospel. Amen.
Oh, amen to that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord, don't ever let us back down. Give us that boldness and courage to stand firm for the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we can never thank you enough, Jesus, for what you've done for us.
Amen.
You've changed our life, and you've given us the wonderful gift of salvation. And Jesus Christ is salvation. Yes, he is salvation. We believe in old-fashioned altar calls here at Prophetic News. We believe in inviting people to accept Jesus Christ into their hearts and repenting of your sins. Jesus Christ is real, and if you don't know him today, you can know him. You can know the real Jesus. He is a loving God. He loves you. He can change your life. You won't have to be addicted to cigarettes and alcohol and sex and drugs and all the rest of it. He can set you free from all of that. You don't have to kill yourself. You can have a real life in Jesus Christ. And you know what? You won't be searching for anything anymore. If you're dabbling in Eastern religion and you're dabbling in all kinds of things and you're searching and you're trying to find yourself, the search will be over. It'll be over because you will find the truth. And the truth will make you free. So I want to thank my guest today. And we're going to close out here with these clips from Donnie Swagger. And Donnie, these are your own words.
And of the cross, the church must come back. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The church must have a reformation of Christ and him. Where tonight are the preachers that will stand up and take a stand? Where are they? We need Jeremiah. We need some Daniel. We need some Isaiah. We need some Jehoshaphat. We need some David. We need some Hezekiah that says, I'm sick and tired of a dirty temple. It's time to clean it up.
Amen. It's time to clean house.
Amen.
Amen.
It's time to clean house. And we ask the Lord to create in us a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within us. I want to thank my guest today for being here. I want to thank all the listeners. I want to thank the caller. for calling in and all the people in the chat room. Thank you for stopping by today. Tune in next week at 1 o'clock on Prophetic News. Eastern Standard Time will be with you again with another great program. And God bless you. Thank you, Karen and Marianne. And bye for now, everybody.
Goodbye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.